This is Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld in an attempt to substitute for Rabbi Moshe Elefant. Today's daf is daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and we will begin from the last few lines of daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Ravina Omar, Nehe de Shlichas Lenachri Lesle. Even though it's true that there is no Shlichas, a Nachri, a guy cannot be a Shlich, an agent on behalf of another Jew for legal halachic matters. However, Zechiah mid Rabbanan Islay, but he does have the power of Zechiah, which means that he can act to acquire something by appointment or by picking the object up, and by acting as someone else's agent to acquire a particular matter or to require a particular right. Why? Midi havi a katan. Isn't he any different than a katan, than a minor? Katan lav afagav delesle shlichusa. Even though a katan cannot act as a shliach, he cannot act as an emissary, as an agent, to go ahead and represent someone, nonetheless, isle zechia. But he is in the parsha of zechia, he can be zecha for others, midi rabbana. Hachanami lo shna. So why should a non-Jew be any different than a katan in this regard? Just like a katan does not have shlichus, he can be zocha, so too should it apply to the non-Jew. So the Gemara says, no, there's no comparison. V'lohi. Yisrael asi leklal shlichus. A Jew, a katan, ultimately he'll become into the klal of shlichus, who ultimately will be capable and to be a shliach once he reaches the age of adulthood. But Akam lo asi leklal shlichus. But an Akam will never reach that capacity of being a shliach. So therefore, you cannot compare an Akam to a Yisrael Katan in this regard at all. Mar starts a new sugya. Tana Rabbanan, Yisrael shalava ma'os min ha'nachri beribis. A Jew who lends money from a guy with interest, obviously illegally, v'zakvan b'milva, and now he formalizes that relationship for the ribis, that contract for the ribis, and he puts it into a formal contract, the nizgayer. And now this guy, the Jew had lent money, had borrowed money from this guy. And now the guy, the nizgayer, the guy in the interim converts. So im kaidem shi nizgayer zakvan alav milva, if before the conversion took place, that's when he established this loan with the ribis. So then, gavis hakeren, the gavis haribis. Then the guy has a right to collect both the principal and the ribis and the interest accrued because it took place as he was non-Jewish. He had a right to collect interest from the Jew. But let's say this deal was formalized after the guy now becomes a convert. Now he's a fully fledged Jew. So gaves a keren ve'ena gaves a ribis. So the keren, which means the original principal, that remains ve'ena gaves a ribis. But now he's prohibited by virtue of the fact that he's a Jew. He's prohibited from collecting the interest. He now has become a Jew, and he's no longer allowed to collect the ribis. V'chein nachri shalava ma'os miYisrael. And the same is true if a guy borrows money from a Jew, the ribis. And they made up to pay ribis on that, and the Jew is allowed to lend a guy money with interest. V'zakvan alav b'milva, and they establish now this as a formalized loan. V'niskayer, and now the Jew converts. And, right, so the son of im acho, we say as follows. Im acho lo niskayer, if this was established, this loan with the ribis was established. Again, we're talking about the non-Jew borrowing from the Jew at ribis. Im achlon is gayer, if this deal was formalized before he became a ger, zakvan alav milva, that's when this formalization took place. Gova es hakeren, the gova es haribis. He can collect both the keren and the ribis because that deal was struck before he became a Jew. And therefore, the Jew has a right to collect that ribis from the non-Jew. Im mishin is gayer zakvan alav milva. But if after the non-Jew became a ger, now became a Jew, then if that milva was established after that point, then gavis a keren ve'ena gavis a ribis. Then the Jew can collect the keren, the principal, but he cannot collect the ribis. Rabbi Yossi, says, Nachri Shalava Mos Me Yisrael Beribis. If a Jew lends money from a guy with ribis, Benkach Ubenkach Goves HaKeren VeGoves HaRibis. In either case, it makes no difference at what point the deal was made, before or after became a ger. In either case, the Jew is allowed to collect the ribis, even though it's already he's already now a Jew. Still, the borrower is a Jew now. Still, the lender, the Jew, collects the keren, and he can collect the ribis as well. So, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chisda said in the name of Rav Huna, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That's a little bit needs explanation. Why is it that he's allowed to collect this ribbis now? After all, at this point in time, the borrower has now become a Jew. How could now one Jew go ahead and continue to collect ribbis from a Jew at this point? Amarava Sarava explains my time with Rav Yossi. What is Rav Yossi's reasoning? Kadesh Layomer Bishvil Ma'osav Niskayer Zeh. That people shouldn't say, you know why this fellow became a convert? The reason why he converted and became a ger is to avoid having to pay ribbis. He owed ribbis from while he was a non-Jew. Now he'll resort to becoming a Jew, and that'll obviate the need to pay any more interest on this. So people go around saying that this whole thing was a subterfuge that this guy planned in order to avoid having to pay that interest. Now, most of the Rishonim feel that the interest that we're talking about here was interest that was accrued before he actually converted. In such a case, we say, okay, that interest that was accrued after he converted, he has to pay. But the Rush, interestingly, says that this applies to interest that was accrued even after he became a Jew, which needs explanation, because after he's a Jew, so min haTorah, he's not allowed to pay ribbis. How do the Chacham say, go ahead and pay the ribbis, just for the reasoning that we don't want people to talk ill of this person, to spread rumors about him, but after all, min haTorah is not allowed to pay ribbis. So the Rush says that yes, because yesh pekach lachachamim lakadavim in the Torah. This is a startling thing that the Rush applies here. That the Rush says that yes, you can undo. The chachamim have a power to undo that which is of the Torah if it's for their purposes that they deem as valid. So they felt that they can actually undo here the prohibition of ribbis if it's going to lead to the. To the false rumors about this guy that he only converted in order to be able to avoid having to pay interest. The Karban Asanal and the Rush has certain issues with that, and you can look into the Karban Asanal itself. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Shtar Shekasav by Ribbis, a shtar that has, that Ribbis was done, obviously, Shalom in Adin, and this is real Ribbis Katsutsa, there was in Ribbis made in advance. Kotsin also, so we penalize the fellow for writing the shtar. Ve'ena gova loas hakeren ve'loas haribus. And he cannot collect not the principal and not the interest either. Divi Rav Meir. Rav Meir's opinion is you enter an illegal document into an illegal arrangement using a document that's illegal, so we discount the entire document, and the entire document becomes void. However, the Chachamim say, Chachamim Amrim, Goyves HaKeren, that you can indeed collect the principal. However, Goyves HaRibis, we do not invalidate the entire document and the entire contract. Yes, the Ribis obviously is going to be invalidated, but he can collect the interest and not collect the principal, and though he does not collect the ribbis. So Gemara says, "B'maika miflagi." Surrounding what is this machlekes? Rav Meir savar kansinan hetera mishum isura. Rav Meir says that when we penalize someone, we penalize someone in the entire extent. In other words, yes, there's a heter part. The heter part was the actual principal part of the loan, and that was certainly permissible. But then you engaged in something not legal, and you engaged in trying to exact interest. So therefore, once we undo the illegal part, so the heter part falls aside with it, and it's a penalty for engaging in an illegal activity altogether. So the entire contract unravels. Rabbanan Savi, Rabbanan say lo kansinin heter mishim isura, that we don't, if something like this happens, the heter part, that which they did legally, remains intact, and the isur part, that which was done illegally, is the one that's going to now be is now going to be invalidated. The Gemara continues. Tnan hasam, shtarei chayv hamukdamin pesulin, v'hamucharin kisherin. If you have a shtar that a contract that the date is predated, in other words, you put down the date for earlier than the actual contract was signed for, pasul, that's invalid, and it's not a proper shtar. It's not an acceptable shtar. V'hamucharin. But on the other hand, if it was made later than the date, it was dated later than the actual deal took place, kisherin. So then his kosher is valid. So the Gemara says as follows. Gemara asks, mukdaman amai pesulin, why do we say that the predated shtar is possible? Nehe delo gavi mizman rishon, it's true. Now, what was the problem over here in having the predated shtar? The predated shtar, the problem is, obviously, that now if the fellow defaults on payment, I make a shtar that you owe me money, and now the borrower, let's say, defaults on payment, so now the lender will have right to collect on the basis of the shtar being earlier than it was, and he can go to any menuchasim mishubadim, any other outstanding liens that may have been on this property that were used as security, that he may be have a right to he'll go ahead and collect on those properties from an earlier date than actually the loan took place. In other words, properties that had liens on it from an earlier date than the loans took place. So the Gemara says, Nehed lo gavim izman rishon, while it's true, we understand that this shtar should not stand as valid from the point of the earlier date that was written, but nigvim izman sheni, but let's at least say that it's valid from the second date, which is the izman sheni here literally means the second date, but there is no second date, there's only the one first early date, but izman sheni means the real date, from the actual date. Let at least be valid for the actual date that it was collected, that it was, that the deal actually was struck, that the loan took place. Let the shtar remain valid for at least that much of time. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. So Rav Shimon Lakish says, Machlokas Shinuya. You're right. This idea is a Machlokas of Rav Meir. This happens to be the opinion of Rav Meir, that once we render the shtar invalid for being predated, it becomes entirely invalid. Rav Yochanan says, "Afilu tema de Rabbanan," that even it goes according to the Rabbanan. In other words, the Rabbanan who normally don't go around invalidating shtaras if there's something wrong with the date, but here it's a little bit different. In this situation, in the loan situation, the Rabbanan will agree to Rav Meir Gezer Shema Yigvam Yizman Harishon, because maybe he'll go and he'll collect from the earlier time, as we said before, so that. Normally, the Chachamim might say something that a shtar that has the wrong date can still remain valid, but if a shtar has the wrong date and there's good reason to suspect that now it can be subject to abuse or misuse, then the Rabbana would agree that it's no longer a valid shtar at all. Now the Gemara has an interesting case of two fellows trying to outwit each other. Ahu gavra demashkinle pardise lechavre. A fellow, someone lent a field. Someone lent money to his friend, the security was a field. It was a vineyard, actually. And kaachla klas shani, and he was in the lender was eating from the field for 3 years. He said, "Listen, if I don't pay you back for a certain amount of time," the borrower said, "You can eat along with the produce of my field. Ultimately, if I don't pay you back, we're going to deduct the amount of payers that you ate off my field or my vineyard, and we'll work it off the original worth of the original loan. Yeah. Now, so what happens? So the lender is busy. He's eating for 3 years off the field, eating the grapes, using the grapes, selling the grapes, whatever. And he happened to like that vineyard. Amalei, so the lender tells him, Ibn Zivnis ne nearly mutif. If you sell me that field, good. I mean, I want this field. I like it. I like what it produces. Sell it to me and all will be well. Ve'ilav, but if ve'ilav, but if you don't sell me the field, kevishna l'shtar mashkanta, I'm going to do away with the mashkanta. I'll hide the shtar, the mashkanta that said that this is as a security deposit, this field. Ve'amina l'kuchi biyadi, and I'll say, look, I'm here for 3 years. This field is mine, and it's by all rights mine, and, you know, sorry, I have nothing to say. I'm just going to usurp the field. So he threatened him like that. Sell me the field, or I'll usurp it. You have your choice. So what did he do? Borrower goes ahead. The borrower did not want to lose his field. Azul kama knei alei lebno hakatan. He went ahead and he sold it to his minor child. And a minor child really has no legitimate kinyan. Then, vahadar zavnei nilei zavini. And then he went ahead and through the child, he sold it to someone else. So giving the appearances that that this field was sold off to somewhere, that the field was sold off. And he does this without obviously the knowledge of the lender. So now Zuzi Kamalva Bishtar Dami is the Zuzim that were paid for this. That were paid for this field are they considered a malva bishtar that it was a proper loan with a proper document, the govim and nechasim mishubadim, and therefore it gives the buyer the right to buy them with nechasim mishubadim, which means with fields that are guaranteed for repayment. They're encumbered fields, so he says. Odilma kamava pedami, or is it considered like a loan that was made orally? And they're not collected from the chasim mishubadim. They cannot buy from these. He cannot collect from those indebted fields. So in other words, what this fellow did, the borrower, what he did was he through his son tricked that original lender into thinking that the field was sold, and then separately the field was sold through a third party to this lender, to the original lender. So the lender actually paid for that, ended up paying for that field. That was all in order to prevent the lender from usurping that field for the friend. So from the borrower. So again, that borrower actually through his son used it as a third party, sold it off to someone else, and the lender ended up buying it. So the Gemara says, so the zuzim that were paid for this field, what type of money does that represent? So the Gemara says, v'lav hainu de Rav Asi, is this not similar to Rav Asi? Damar Rav Asi, moed b'shtar shekosvo, ein tzorach l'kaimo. That once you admit that a shtar is, I agree that this thing was written, it was a proper shtar, I'm not disputing the validity of the shtar. And it's off lekaimo, you don't have to have kiyum shtar, the shtar is entirely valid, and you can collect from the chasim mishubadim, the government of chasim mishubadim. So maybe that should be the same thing here. So because after all, the shtar was written, the lender, when he's getting back this field and paying for it, he admits that the shtar was there. He just does not understand, didn't realize, was never told that this is all done through a subterfuge of that original borrower. But he's never disputing the validity of that shtar. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says to me, Dami, how can you make such a comparison in the case of Modav Shtar Shikosvo, in the normal case of Modav Shtar Shikosvo? Amalei Rava, me Dami, Hasam Nitan Lihikosev. There, on the normal circumstances, it's everybody understands it's a shtar that should be written. Aval hachaloni nothing li kasev. But here, He wasn't even aware of the subterfuge done to him. So therefore, he does not. He admits that the shtar was written. It's a valid shtar, but he's going under false pretenses. He did not know the whole subterfuge that the borrower pulled on him. So you can't make a comparison of the two. You cannot compare this to the average case of a mother b'shtar shekasvu. Yasav Marema v'kamala lahashmaitza. Rav Marema was sitting and he was learning through this sugya. Amale Ravina l'amarav Marema. So Ravina said to Marema, Elahadi amarav Yochanan, that which Rav Yochanan said, Gezera shema yigva mizman rishain, that it's a gezera that you may come to collect from the original time. In other words, what we said before, that the reason why a shtar mukdam is no good, when you have the earlier date, it's no good, because you may come to collect nechasim mishubadim from the time that really in reality predated when the actual loan was made. So neima lo nitan likasev, say that that's a shtar that was not agreed upon to be written altogether. So the whole shtar would never have a validity in the first place. So why should there be a problem that he's going to collect from an earlier time? This was a shtar l'nitan l'kasev. No, there was never agreed to it under those conditions in the first place. It was agreed to under false pretenses. So why should they have any power to collect at all? Amalei, so he tells him hachi hashta. What's the comparison? Hasam the nehid l'nitan l'kasev mizman rishon. In such a case, where they predated, it's true that they did not agree. It was this much was a subterfuge that they wrote it from an earlier time. Aval nitan l'kasev mizman sheni, but certainly they agreed to write it from the actual time on, that they both the lender and the borrower agree it should be valid. So it's just what he was trying to collect from an earlier date. But you cannot refer to it as a shtar that's lo nitan l'kasev. However, hacha, in that case, with our two fellows here outwitting each other, he sells it through his son, hacha l'nitein likasev klal. Here, this is a shtar that was just pulled off as a subterfuge. The whole sale was never a real sale. The whole thing was just a mirage. So that you can't refer to it as a shtar shenitein likasev. So then the Gemara says, elaha detanya. L'shvach karkos keitzad, what's the issue when you have shvach karkos, that you have to deal with improvements made on a field? Well, here's the situation. Keitzad ha'resha gazal sada mechavero. Someone steals a sada from his neighbor. Steals a field. U'machol acher, he then in turn goes ahead and sells it to yet another party. He knows you steal a field, and now the gazlan goes ahead and sells it to another party. Vihishbicha, the third person, most likely unwittingly, is not aware that this was stolen property, and he works the field and he produces produce, and he improves the field and he gets the field to produce produce. Vahareyotz metachas yodo, and now it has to now when the bezin catches up with this whole geneva, and he forces the field to be returned to its original owner. So they finally, Bezin catches up with the fact that this was stolen property, handed off to this third party. So now it's removed from the third party's hands. Kishu Gova, so now when he's Gova, when this third party is the aggrieved party now, he got a hold of a field thinking that it's his. Now he has to collect his own damages. So Gova said, Karen min nechasim mishubadim. So he can collect karen from nechasim mishubadim, nechasim that were on the leaned on the original property. However, v'shevach gova min nechasim b'nei charen. But the shevach or the shvach, the extra produce and the improvements and the money that he invested in that field to improve it, that he can only collect from fields that are readily available to him. Not that he has to resort to liens. He's got a much weaker claim on the nechasim mishubadim. So I'm sorry, on the nechasim b'nei on the shevach, he has a much weaker claim on the shevach of the field. He can only collect from the gazlan. He can only go ahead and collect fields that he has that are available from the gazlan to give to him, but not fields that were meshubah to the gazlan from other sources. So why don't we say lema no nitein likasev? Why don't we say that this is a shtar that that was never agreed upon to be written on in the first place, because after all it was stolen. So therefore, maybe if it's a shtarshin, so that's lenitin likasev, so it does, you shouldn't be able to collect. You should not be able to collect at all from the mishubadim. So Yemar says, huh, so what kind of validity does this shtar have that he worked out with the goslin? This was the whole shtar had no validity. It was a shtar with the goslin. So why should he be able to collect from Mishubadim at all? So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, Haki, you can make a comparison. Because there is the Gemara before discusses this in Tesvav Amid Beis, discusses the situation with Gazlanim in a similar situation, and the Gemara says that there is an opinion of some who say that a Gazlan does not like to keep his name as a Gazlan. Even a Gazlan would like to uphold some type of reputation, doesn't want to be known as the world's Ganef. So therefore, he would like to do the honorable thing and honor this shtar, even though it may not be nitan likasev, because it was all executed by a Gazlan, but he would like to do the honorable thing, even a Gazlan. But a Gazlan, or there's another opinion in the Gemara earlier, that a Gazlan, not so much doesn't want to be known as a Gazlan, but he wants to be known as a credible individual. So the Gemara there in Tezvav Mabez discusses what's the difference between the two, between a person not wanting to be known as a Gazlan, or between a person who wants to uphold his reputation as an honorable person. So the Gemara goes on for a bit of discussion, but the first response to the Gemara is that in the case of the Gazlan is supposing what happens if the victim dies of the Gazlan. And if the victim dies, so there's no one around to pronounce him as a Gazlan anymore, so then he might not care. He doesn't care about his honor. He doesn't care about his honor. He only cares about being known as a Gazlan. The one who knew him as a Gazlan was the one who he victimized. He's now out of the picture by virtue of the fact that he died. But however, if you're of the opinion that a person, even a Ganef, wants to uphold his reputation wherever he goes around town, so then even if the victim dies, he wants to always be known as an honorable individual. So the Gemara debates that and has further discussion about that, but that's the first response of the Gemara to explain the difference of the two. Anyway, so he always wants to do the right thing and uphold the shtar, even though the shtar may be lo nitin likasev, but the Gazlan still would like to do the credible thing and honor the shtar to the extent that he can be for the nechasim mishubadim. However, hacha, In the case that we're dealing here with this, back to our case, that we're dealing here with this fellow who was threatened that his field would be usurped, and he sold it off through his child back to that lender. He's only trying to get rid of this guy, to get rid of his threat, so he pulled off the subterfuge. Shtar Mekayimle, you're going to refer to it as a Shtar Mekuyim? So you can't refer to it as a Shtar Mekuyim. And in other words, that question up above in the top of the daf, whether this should be considered moed b'shtar shekasva in itzarach l'kayim, whether that it does not require kima, whether it applies to that situation or not, that it actually does not apply to that situation because he was not interested in entering a valid agreement with this fellow who he considered a scoundrel altogether for trying to usurp his field. All right, now we'll continue to the Mishnah. Ein poskin ala peros ad she yetze hashar. This is going back to the topic that's been discussed already in this perek in a number of different ways. But this is talking about the forward contract, putting down money to get goods at a later time. So ein poskin ala peros ad she yetze hashar. You cannot strike a loan, or in essence put down money to get produce at a later time, because in essence the Rabbanan consider that an outstanding loan until the goods are delivered, and that might involve ribbis should the value go up of the produce. Same poskal of Paris, you cannot make a deal on forward deal on contracting for Paris until the shar, the market price, is set. Yatsa hashar, And once the price is set, poskin, then you can strike that deal. V'af al pi she'ein lezeh, yesh lezeh. That even though you in the merchant right now selling this produce may not have this produce right now, but it's readily available to him from somewhere else. So even though he doesn't have it to him right now, but it's easily attainable, just go down the market and get it for the same price that they agreed upon. So there's no problem here and no issue of possible ribis. Hayahu techilas lekotzrim, if it was the beginning season of the harvest. So the price is not exactly set, but he's coming to him early in the harvest. So we say posik imo ala gadish, he could put ala gadish. You can make the deal based on a bushel of wheat, the ala avit shel anavim, or based on a vat of grapes, the ala matan shel zaysim, or a vat of olives. Ve'ala beitzim shel yotzar, that's the clay balls that the potters used to use, which they ultimately formed into their pots, let's say. Ve'al hasid mishishakal bekivshan, or in line that was once it was put into the kiln to begin to be hardened. So all those things will retain, all these things you're allowed to make a deal on right now, because the deal for them is already set. We know exactly what the price for these things will be once they are put into use. So there is no problem in buying these things right now. Now, uposik imo al hazevel, and you can also make an advance purchase of manure, kol yamos hashana, throughout the entire year, because the zevel is always readily available throughout the year. And it's not a question of going to one market to another market. It's always readily available. You can make the exchange right now if you wanted to. Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein poskin ala zevel." You cannot make a forward contract on the zevel and his manure. Elam kein hoisalo zevel ba'ashba, unless you have zevel available to you, dung available to you right now in your dung heap. But otherwise, you cannot make a deal on a future deal on Zevel, because they felt that it's not so readily available. The Chacham Matir and the Chacham do say it's allowed. The Gemara later will discuss what is the difference in the opinion between the Chacham who say that it's Mutter and the Tanakama or Rav Yossi. Both said that it's Mutter. Uposikima Bashar HaGavoa. Now, also a borrower, this is a separate issue here now, a borrower can strike a deal with the investor by saying, the purchaser can say to the merchant that I want to, when I buy this from you, I want to make sure that literally shar gavoa means I want to have the highest deal, but here it means really the opposite. I want to be guaranteed that I will get the best deal for myself, that I'll pay the lowest price. I'm paying you now, but I want to let's make a deal right now, that when it comes through, I'm going to get the lowest price for the commodity when it's exchanged. In other words, whatever, let's say right now it's a 4 zuz for 5 bushels that I'm giving you now. Later, for the same 4 zuz, I can buy 6 bushels. I want to be able to buy later for the 6 bushels. And you're allowed to be, I want to be, you guarantee me you're going to get, give me the lowest price at the time that I actually acquire my bushels or my merchandise. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Alpha pishelo pasuk ima b'shar ha'gavara." Even though he didn't make up with him in advance that I'm going to get this good deal, yachalama, you can tell him tell me kazeh or tell me esma osai. He can tell him later, even though he didn't stipulate up front that I need to get the lowest price possible. He can say, "Give me this bushels at this rate, at the going right now at this cheaper rate, or give me my money back." That much he can do, even if the deal was not struck in advance. Now let's see the Gemara. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ein poskin al shar shebashuk. You cannot set the deal, make this forward arrangement, this forward contract with a person, al shar shebashuk, based on the current market value. even though it's there's a common market outside in the immediate vicinity, but that's not enough to firmly establish what the rate or the value of the commodity will be. Amar Rav Zeil Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Zeil Rav Asi said to Rav Yochanan, Afilu kedurmas hazeh, even if it's going to go like this central marketplace. In other words, there was a marketplace that was very busy. It was known as the central, the Shuk HaTichoni, the central marketplace. It was a busy place. It wasn't the actual last word on what the market value is, but it was quite busy. So even for such a busy place, so he says, Amalei, La Amar Rav Yochanan El B'Shuk She'ar B'Shil Ayaros. Rav Yochanan before said that you cannot be posik on Shar She'ar B'Shuk. So he says he was talking about the Shuk of the common little cities that they had, villages, the Lo Kaviyat Tairayu, whose prices have not been firmly established. But I did not mean like the Dormis. The Dormis is the central market. That is where the price in that vicinity, in any case, will be established. So certainly, he did not mean to say that the dormis no good. A dormis indeed would set the established rate. So the Gemara says, "Leman de salka daiten meikara dan Rabbi Yochanan afilu kedormis." And according to that havamina, that thought at the beginning, that Rabbi Yochanan would be talking about even afilu kedormis hazeh, even this main central marketplace. So according to that thought process, that maybe Rabbi Yochanan even meant that, Elamas nisan diktani ein poskin ala peres achiyetze ashar. The Mishnah which tells us that you cannot make this deal on the peres until the shar is established, so yotza hashar poskin hechi mishkachasle. How are you going to be able to establish what the price is, if you're going to say it even how are you going to establish what the going rate is if you're not even allowing a dormis according to this thought? So he says, Mishkachas le masnisan, so he'll tell you that the Mishnah will be talking about bechiti de akalbi, v'arbi, that wheat that's stored either in the granaries, in the large granaries, the are in the boats, and in those areas when you have such an abundance of wheat that you have wheat that's actually stored in the boats or stored in the large silos and granaries, then the mashach tarayu tvei, those areas, if there's an abundance of wheat and it is already being stored, staying in the ships, then you know that the price is set. It's not fluctuating. The abundance of wheat that's represented by the bundles, by the wheat that's still remaining in the ships, that tells you that the market is not fluctuating, is not going anywhere, and that's what would have been considered the established rate. So, had we said that the dormis is no good, but these two places, that would have established the market. However, now that we know that the dormis does act as a criteria for the marketplace, so once the major market is set, so then that's the set price. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, ain't poskin ala peres achi yotza ashar. You're not supposed to make this forward contract in Paris until the shar is set. Yotza ashar, but once the marketplace is set, poskin, you can make this forward contract. Afa pisha ain't lezeh, yesh lezeh. Because once the market place is set in and things are settled down, if you don't, even though you may not have this commodity, but you can easily get the commodity from someone else. So we're not afraid there's going to be a major issue of ribbis, because nothing's going to go up unreasonable rate, because the fellow can always access the produce from someone else. He's not going to be strained to go ahead and find at an exorbitant rate the produce for him. So therefore, we're not afraid that there's going to be any issue of ribbis that'll become worth more all of a sudden than what he paid for. Hayu chadashus me'arba. If the new crop was worth fours, it was yishenus mishalish, and the older crop was worth, with the older crop which becomes a little bit more settled down, the produce itself, the grains itself settle, and that's only, that goes for 3 zuzin. Ein poskin achiyetsa ashal chodesh v'yashan. You can, since you have old produce and new produce, and they're both coming into different values as to how much you can get, how many bushels you can get for that same zuz. So ein poskin achiyetsa ashal lechodesh v'yashan. The shah is not considered set until both the new and the old, the value for the new product and the new crop and the old crop, till that becomes settled, that's when the market for that purpose is considered settled. Hayu lakutos me'arba. Lakutos were, we had this before in the Gemara as well, but the lakutos were those who were loket, who gleaned leket and as part of leket shikcha v'peah. They were the poorer people who went out to the fields and they were eligible to pick up the leftover grains that the farmer left over in his harvest. That's called part of the leket. So the anim, the poor people, will go out, gather up those crops, and then sell them. But they will sell them at a distressed rate, and they were usually sold at less. Number one, obviously they were not first choice because it was just the produce left on the ground, and number two, sometimes they were not stored in a careful and segregated manner, and some of the crops became mixed up together, and it was like a variety of crops that could be in one bushel. So due to that, the price was always less. Hayalakutis ma'arba. So the grains coming from the loktim, from the gleaners, went for 4. Ulechal adam. Ulechaladam mishalish. So for everybody else, it may have gone for 3. In other words, let me explain this a bit better. When I say arba, I mean, let's say 4 bushels for the same zuz. Ulechaladam, but for the standard sale, it was shalish. It was 3 bushels for the same zuz. So you were getting, it was for the same zuz, you were able to buy more from the lakutos, which means that it was going for cheaper than the standard crop available to everybody. So we say ain't posking that's yacha shah la loket the lamacher. The market is not considered as set until the price is settled for both the loktim people and the mochrim people, the standard sellers and the gleaners. Then the shahr is considered set. Amar of Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Poskin lakutos kishar lakutos. And no, you can make your deal with the lakutos. There's a separate lakutos market, and you can make a deal for the gleaners as the common value for the gleaners market goes. There's a separate market for the gleaners. And if you want to buy from a gleaner, from one of these people who's taking leket, you can advance in the payment based on the set value of that market. And that market had its own value, value for the lakutos. So Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, Maishna locate. Why should we assume that it's different to the locate to the gleaner? The iles le yazif milokit chavre, that if he doesn't have any gleaned items, he can always go over to his colleague, who is also a gleaner, and get some gleaned items from him. So balabayis nami yazif milekit. The balabayis is also can go to, just like a gleaner can go to his fellow gleaner, a balabayis, a regular set businessman, a wealthy businessman, can also go to the gleaner and get his money at the gleaner market. So why are you limiting the gleaner markets only to the actual people who do glean for the loktim? Let a balabayis also set a gleaner's, let him have a reduced rate, or like a thrift rate that he gets through the gleaners. And when you make the deal for the gleaners, and you'll say, the balabayis says, no problem, I will go to my friend down the block, who himself just finished gleaning, has a stockpile of gleaned items, and I'll get it from him, so it should be just as available to the balabayis. Amalei, so he told him, so why do we restrict this, the gleaner market, just to the gleaners? Amalei, balabayis zilabei milsei, lemesef milikot. A balabayis is considered undignified to have to go around and try to get gleaned matter and gleaned crops from a leak. It was a different echelon of people, and he wasn't going to resort to go ahead and it just didn't, as they say in Yiddish, pass for him to go ahead and try to get it from somebody else. So it was not a viable market to talk of the Balabais availing himself of Likud. Ibeis Ema, or you can say just as understandably, Man the Yohiv Zuzi, the Balabais, a perishapiriyoiv. The one who gives money to the Balabais, he's looking to get a better quality peris. He's looking to get a better quality fruit or better quality crop. So therefore, I'm not interested in you that you're able to get me some of this same fruit at the gleaner's market. Even if it's going to cost me, even I'll get a better value, I'll get more for the money. I'm not interested in more for the money. I'm interested in, I went to you because I want to get a better quality item. So that's why you have no, a Bala Bias has no right to make a deal with a person who is putting, you have no right to make a forward contract with a person and relying on the fact that you can always pick it up in the lugdin, because the original purchaser only has in mind to deal with you on the basis that you're going to give him a superior quality, not the inferior gleaning. Yaev, I'm sorry. Amarav Sheshes, Amarav Huna, Ein Lavan Al Shabbos Shebishuk. Sheshes, in the name of Huna, says that you cannot borrow on the shahr of the shuk, on the regular market. You cannot lend money. You cannot lend money. Now we're talking about lending money. Here it's not necessarily the forward contract buying, but here we're talking about a loan. In love and money, el shahr shuk, and on the base of the marketplace. Amar Rav Yosef bar Chamal Rav Sheshes. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abel Rav Sheshes. He questions, is Rav Huna, do you really say such a thing? They asked of Rav Huna, Hani b'nei bei Rav, the Yasvi b'Tishrei, and these yeshiva fellows, they used to borrow money in Tishrei, upari b'teves, and they used to pay back with produce on Teves time. So they used to pay back with fruit or produce based on the time as the price was in Teves much later. And they based it so he used to borrow money, pay back with food at a later time. So you see that they waited till the value of the shuk went, and that's how they repaid their loans. So Shari Aser, so Rav Huna was asked, as a Mutter Aser. Amalais, he says, Vahiti Be'ini Vahiti Be'shili, that yes, you're allowed to make such a deal because these bachrim, if they're afraid that the market was going up or going down, this type of wheat was available. If he didn't go to Hini, he went to Shili. If it wasn't available in one town, they easily could have gotten it from another town. So it wasn't as though this produce was not so readily available at the original rate of the original loan. So there was no chash of ribbis or anything, because the loan would be paid back based on the value that they were thinking of in the first place, because they can easily avail themselves of this crop in some other town. So that's how they can pay back their loans from the original thinking of what the rate was, because if they don't find it in one market, they can always find it in another market readily available. So why would Rav Huna then say that you can't make such a loan? Rav Huna. Yeah. So Rav Huna said, because we didn't think that Rav Huna would want to agree, disagree with that contention, that the yeshiva bachrim can make such a deal. So Sav Rav Huna ain lovin, Mikar Sav Rav Huna ain lovin. Sorry, Meikara Savar Rav Huna Ein Lovin. Originally, Rav Huna felt that the word Meikara goes with this statement. Meikara Savar Rav Huna Ein Lovin. Really, in the beginning, Rav Huna said, you cannot make such a deal. Kiva the Shema Lahadam, Rav Shmuel Bar Achia, Amar Rav Elazar, Lovin. Once he heard Rav Shmuel Bar Achia, Amar Rav Elazar say that you can make such a deal, and he heard such a statement in the name of Rav Achia, Amar Rav Elazar, he wasn't going to contradict that, and indeed, he retracted. Ami Lovin. So he also agreed that such a deal can be made, and he retracted from what he said originally. Now he agrees that you can make a deal in a loan based on the Shahr Shebishuk.